when I go back and think about how Jacques Plante got injured in a game, this would have been in the later 50s, re-entered the game with a face with a goalie mask that he made. He was one of the early innovators in it. Took a little bit of heat from his coach because obviously now you're looking through a fiberglass facial plate with basically smaller eye holes cut into it. So your vision is obstructed a little bit.
Yeah.
And the coaches did not like that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Total Michigan, where we interview ordinary Michiganders doing some pretty extraordinary things. I'm your host, Cliff Dubinois. I hate to break it to you, but Michigan is a hockey state. And I'm rather embarrassed because I haven't had anybody really on the show to talk about Michigan's part in defining this really great sport. But I could not believe it when I was going through my notes the other day, being in Port Huron, and one of the biggest names in goalie mask is actually here in Michigan, actually in Port Huron. And so, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about the story, the legacy of this great family business, I've got Gary Warwick from Warwick Goalie Mask with us today. Gary, how are you?
Very good, Cliff. And thanks for showing a little interest in the business and coming in and setting up your microphones and lights today and interviewing me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And I will tell you this right now, your shop is colorful.
Yeah.
I am loving the paint jobs, and we're gonna be talking about that in just a second. But before we jump in, if you would please just tell us, what is Warwick Goalie Mask?
Well, we manufacture high-end custom masks built for typical head sizes. We have many different molds. When a person calls up and wants to order a mask, we like to get the head circumference measurement, which is done right above the eyebrow with a small tape measure. We like a headshot. We like their preferences. Height and weight is important. Some masks are made with a longer chin. Some are made with a shorter chin, depending on the height of the goaltender. Some goaltenders like a facial opening that's a little smaller, and some like it cut down lower so they can easily drink water and talk to their players, yell at their defensemen to get them out of the way and stuff like that. So there's quite a bit of questions that go on, and we like as much feedback as we can get. And then based on our different styles, we have a few different styles to pick from. You know, we can normally lead them in the right direction. And if they're from Michigan and they can actually drive to the store and actually try on our various masks that we have in the shop, you know, that's always really nice too. So people that live in Michigan, I guess you'd say, have a little bit of an advantage over somebody that's ordering from out of state.
You're seeing them being used at all level of hockey play, from NHL all the way down.
Yes. We make a lot of masks for beer leaguers, kids that are 16, 17 years old playing at a high level, trying to get into the junior ranks, and then hopefully maybe getting to go to a college on a partial scholarship or anything like that. A lot of our goalies that we work with end up getting, maybe it's a D3 position at a college, and they're 21, 22 years old. Like, this stuff isn't happening at 18 or 19 fresh out of high school. It's a tough road for them. At that level, you're starting to get 60, 70 mile an hour shots being fired at your head. And, you know, that's when you can call me up. I can, you know, work with you, get you into one of these custom masks that are 8 or 9 layers thick of various materials, be it carbon fiber, high-end fiberglass, Kevlar, which is a yellow material put in certain high-impact areas. You know, we can get you into either a stainless steel grill that goes on the outside of it, called cage, or titanium, which is lighter, stronger, and obviously more expensive too. So we've got a couple different options for cages. And as far as paint colors, we send out mostly white or black, but we can also get any kind of a colored paint job that a customer may want, be it red, blue, or anything like that.
And it's something that we were talking about before the microphones got turned on, in that when hockey first started out, I mean, you're talking about a puck that weighs 5 ounces, like you just said, going 60 miles an hour.
Yep.
A lot of times straight at your head.
Right.
When hockey first started out, there was no protection for the goalie.
No, there wasn't. And that's what motivated my dad to learn how to take a mold of a person's face, which, as I'm looking at this plaster of Paris splints that would be dipped in water and laid over a person's face, you were able to, after it dried for, say, 10 minutes, you're able to remove that, maybe the next day or two, let it set up a little bit, and then start, you know, laying your fiberglass over top of that mold. And once that hardened up, you could remove that, trim it, and start cutting your holes, finding a harness strap and maybe a little back plate, and, you know, you were off to the races. And when they came out with the facial plate, maybe in late 50s, early 60s, a lot of the goalies, whether it was Jacques Plante or Terry Sawchuk or anybody like that, Roger Crozier, you know, they loved having something on their skin to protect them from just taking the puck right in and getting a nasty cut out of it. So, but they've come a long way over the last 50 years as well, too. So
let's talk a little bit about your backstory. Gary, where are you from? Where did you grow up?
From Port Huron. And my dad and I were both union construction workers. And he always enjoyed doing this as his hobby. And then being guys that started in the construction trades at a young age, we were able to also leave the field in our early 50s. In my dad's case, he basically operated out of his basement until the early 2000s. And then was able to get a storefront close to his house. We're in our third location now, and my brother Chad got involved in it as well. Another construction worker. He has since moved to Colorado and continued on making masks for his hobby out there, you know, in a part-time type job for him. But that's kind of how the family got into it right there.
What made your dad all of a sudden one day say, you know, I want to start working with goalie mask?
Well, being a young goalie in the early 60s, he had to go out there and play the position with nothing on his head. And as he went across to the Blue Water Bridge and played a lot of hockey in Canada, being a Yankee, as they call us, going over there and playing, the Canadian guys would like to come in and get that puck and shoot it as hard as they could, try to put it right through you.
Yeah.
But they also did that over on this side too. But luckily, one of his friends was a goaltender for the Port Huron Flags, Norm Jocks, and Norm had a mask made by Lefty Wilson, the Detroit Red Wings trainer. They got together, and Norm showed my dad the process, and in a very short amount of time, he was making his own fiberglass facial plates and doing a real good job of it, and word spread, and all of a sudden, he had a pretty good clientele going on.
So I understand that he's making his own mask.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want that puck to rearrange his eyeballs or his face or anything.
Right.
So you're talking about like the word spread. At what point in time did he sit there and say, you know, there might be a little business here, even if it's like a side hustle, but at what point in time did he say, you know, I could do this for other people?
Eventually he started to get high-end, high caliber goalies coming his way. I remember a goalie from the Sarnia area named Robbie Moore, and Robbie was a smaller goaltender, but really, really good, and ended up playing for the Philadelphia Flyers. At that time, he was still wearing the full facial plate. They hadn't started to cut the face out of the mask and install the cage yet. So as he started to acquire and get, you know, better goalies like Robbie and maybe Eddie Johnston and Doug Grant, Mike Liut, some of the bigger name guys, as soon as they started to become clients, then of course all the amateurs that follow these people were calling him up. And so it turned into a pretty good side hustle for him as he was finishing up his career in construction.
Now, at what point did you decide that you wanted to be a part of this too? Are you also in hockey?
Yes, I still play. You know, at age 60, I'm a center or a winger. Even myself and my brother Chad, we were never big goaltenders, but we loved playing hockey. And you know, my dad was the goaltender. You know, he played in his leagues until he was in his 40s. We really got involved with him in the early 90s when he got quite busy. You know, he attracted goaltenders like Eddie Belfour. Ryan Miller was coming up through Michigan State at the time. You're talking about some big-name goalies right there. And so when he landed those guys as his customers, Chad and I got involved just due to the demand for the Warwick mask. Yeah. So he needed help constructing them, cutting them out, sanding them, and prepping them for paint. And then when they came back from paint, he taught us how to install the foam liners in them to fit different size faces. And so we had to have all different thicknesses of padding And, you know, you can shave padding down with Dremel tools and custom make the pad pieces so they conform to a person's narrow face, wide face. So there's a lot to learn in doing that.
It also seems like there's a high level of customization too.
Yes.
That can be done.
Yeah. And that's what sets Warwick apart from maybe some of the other makers, is because we've done this for so long and worked with so many different goalies and size faces and size heads, that we are able to get a little bit better fit than maybe some of the other ones that are made pre-made and sitting on a shelf, where a goaltender's got to go up, get something that fits him the best, yet it's not perfect. Then he's got to go out and try to stop pucks with it. And after a year's use on the ice, a lot of these masks become, they start to have problems. They might break some things on them. And if the padding needs to be replaced, there's not a lot of help to get them serviced, you know, after the fact. That's what makes us special. We can repad them, repaint them, supply all the parts that go with them.
Do you find that there's a lot of people that have a Warwick mask, but they've had it for decades?
Yeah, we just got a mask in from a former U of M goaltender, Al Logis, and he played in the early 90s with goalies like Steve Shields and Marty Turco, and even Greg Malachy was part of that group. Al hadn't used his mask in quite some time, and when he sent it in recently, it had all the original padding in it. Maybe the cage had been changed out, but we were able to repad it, put a new cage on it for him, and he's going to be able to get back in the net, you know, in this 30 years later, and still use that mask. It was in pretty good shape.
For our audience, we're going to take a quick break and thank our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk to Gary a lot more about the family business taking over, what that story is. We'll see you after the break. Are you enjoying these amazing stories? Michigan is full of people that are doing some pretty extraordinary things. If you want these amazing stories sent directly to your inbox, head over to TotalMichigan.com, enter your email address, and get them today. What are you going to get? I'm glad you asked. First, you're going to join our awesome Michigan community. Second, you will get an email that includes the top 5 interviews from the show sent directly to your inbox. Third, you're going to get exclusive behind-the-scenes information about the show. Now, to get all these goodies, just head over to TotalMichigan.com/join. Enter your email address and join our community today. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Total Michigan, where we interview ordinary Michiganders doing some pretty extraordinary things. I'm your host, Cliff Duvenois. Today, we're talking with Gary Warwick of Warwick Goalie Mask. And Gary, before the break, we were talking about how your dad basically just didn't want to get his face rearranged, started coming up with his own hockey mask. And next thing you know, we've got NHL players, which in turn, of course, made everybody on the planet come and say, I want a Warwick mask. At what point did you start taking over the business and your father start to step back?
When we moved in this current location in roughly 2006, my dad was, I'm trying to remember how old he would have been, maybe in his later 40s or something. But, you know, after I was getting closer to my retirement, which happened in 2015, from 2010 to 2015, I spent a lot of time in here with him. Watching him on the weekends after work. I always worked out of town. Most of the time I got to spend in here would have been on Saturdays and Sundays, and just really helping him out, fulfilling all the orders. I mean, it's not unusual for us to have 20 to 30 orders on the board, people typically waiting 2 to 3 months for their masks. We like to get the orders and try to fulfill them the best we can in a short amount of time as possible.
And then at what point did you take over the family business?
When I left construction in 2015, unfortunately, my dad's health wasn't the best, and he passed away in 2017. So I took over full-time in the summer of 2015, and he was still able to come in, and we had great conversations, and he was still able to do a little bit. But I've been, for the last, let's say, 9 years, I've been running it full-time with my wife, Shelley. Office manager, does a great job answering the phone, taking all the orders for, you know, a lot of the masks and a lot of the cages and different things that we ship out, custom straps. Because the one thing about goalie masks is the items on them, definitely, whether it's a cage being dented the straps getting sweat soaked and just losing their elasticity. Stuff needs to be replaced, including the hardware that holds a cage in place. We sell all stainless steel items, so they're not rusting. Unlike some of the masks that you find in your stores, they use steel hardware. So in a year or two, you know, you've got some rusty hardware and it's very difficult to change out a cage. So
what were some of the, in taking over the family businesses, what was some of the challenges that you came across that you had to overcome?
Well, after my dad passed away, it was first several months were hard. We always enjoyed doing it together as a team. And then, you know, once you realize that that team aspect isn't around, isn't available for me, I either had to make a decision to continue to do the work on my own or possibly bring somebody else in. And because it's a small store and my wife and I kind of like to do it, you know, ourselves, I've been able to maintain and keep going with the business and just doing it by myself. I've got a couple of people that help me produce the shells. And of course, I've got a great manufacturer that produces cages, a couple of different manufacturers. So it does take quite a few people helping me out to make this happen. And a big part of the success is when you get these goaltenders nowadays, you know, have goalie coaches that help them and teach them the game. And, you know, when you've got great goalie coaches that recommend Warwick Mass, whether it's Matt Wurzba, he's a Michigan goalie coach. You've got Steve McKeekin and Jeff Lurg that own Future Pro. Both of those two guys are ex-professional goalies. But when you've got a number of goalie coaches all over, basically, I would say the United States, that recommend Warwick Mass to their goalies, that plays a huge part in us being busy. So
yes,
it's great. And we've had recently, we had a customer from Chicago that got a recommendation from Peter Mrazek, who's the current starting goaltender for the Blackhawks.
Nice.
So that was great to hear.
One of the things that I would like to explore, and I think this is a great time to do this, is that one of the things that I've learned, especially when it comes to goalie mask, right? This isn't like baseball, where you can just put a plastic helmet on your head, go out there and hit the bat. When it comes to goalie helmets, and we hit a little bit on this before, but there's like a high level of customization that goes into the helmets, from the field of vision that the goalie has versus like how far down the chin they want protection or if they need it up a little bit more,
right?
The back plate on the side of the head. There's a lot of custom. So it's not like they can really go and buy something off the shelf. They really need something that's almost like an extension of them.
Yes.
When they're out there playing.
Right. A good example was like yesterday evening, I had a goalie stop in, and he's a rec goaltender. I don't know if he's, I would assume he was in his mid-40s, and he's had his mask now for a year, maybe 2 years at the most, and he needed a new cage. He took probably a 60 or 70 mile an hour shot up in his cat eye cage, which a lot of these guys like to wear the cat eye cage. It's what the pros wear, and it's got the large eye openings for the best field of vision, best sight lines. He just was tickled to death that he, you know, made the step up, spent the extra money that it takes, but got something that, in his words, when he gets hit in the head, he doesn't really feel the shot. He smells a little bit of burnt rubber from the rubber hitting the cage, but no ear ringing. It's just great to hear that kind of feedback, and you start to realize that by using all these different high-end foam liners and installing a special padding like a D3O, which was made and developed in England. It's an orange padding that absorbs noise, impact, force. You know, it's nice to get the positive feedback from these goalies. Then, you know, you're making a quality product.
It is. And kind of go back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of this interview. I mean, we think about the span of lifetime. So when we first start out, goalies aren't even wearing helmets. The puck's right. Traveling 70 miles an hour straight at their head,
right.
No protection. Now you've got somebody who has come back to you and said, man, I got zinged 70 miles an hour, didn't feel it, hardly heard it.
Right. Yeah, it's when I go back and think about reading stories about how Jacques Plante got injured in a game, This would have been in the later 50s. Re-entered the game with a face with a goalie mask that he made. He was one of the early innovators in it. Took a little bit of heat from the coaches or from his coach, because obviously now you're looking through a fiberglass facial plate with basically smaller eye holes cut into it. So your vision is obstructed a little bit.
Yeah.
And the coaches did not like that. So the high-level goalies, NHL goalies, had to put up with this kind of thought and listen to these comments where, like today, after a goalie like Bernie Parent got his eye injured from a stick in 79, and they basically outlawed the facial plate-style goalie mask, that's when the faces started to get cut out of the shells and these stainless steel grills got attached. Some of the early pioneers that did that was like Tony Esposito even did it on his facial plate when he was playing for the Blackhawks. He attached a grid style over his eye holes for safety reasons. But the evolution of these masks has been incredible, and the padding has gotten better and better. So has the materials, including, you know, really good epoxy resins that we use nowadays. So these shells are able to withstand multiple hits from a puck at high speeds without breaking. You do get a little bit of paint chipping, even if you're using and, you know, spending big bucks on these paint jobs, because these are not cheap. These painters put 40, 50 hours into it, and you've got to pay for their hourly labor, which is, it's a pretty penny.
And then goalies love to have that individualized, totally unique as a fingerprint,
right,
paint job on their helmet.
Sure. And as I, you know, as I look at the table here and I'm looking at Eddie Belfour's Eagle mask, whatever team Eddie played with, he had his Eagle heads painted up top with his wishbone on the chin. And he always had he was born in Carbon, Manitoba, so he always had Carmen Racing on his back plate. I also am looking at and marveling at the work by a local Michigan artist, Ray Bishop, who has been painting, I'm assuming Ray's got 25 plus years into it. And I remember when this particular mask has the Sparty face on it for one of the Michigan State goalies, but one of Ray's first customers was Ryan Miller, when Ryan played for Michigan State and then had a long career with the Buffalo Sabres and Anaheim Ducks and a couple other teams. Ray painted his mask through his whole career. And then I'm looking at another mask that I got in just yesterday from another Michigan artist, Marty LaValle, who works with Ray on occasion. They team up on a project. Marty's work is also beautiful, and he also specializes in painting the Eddie Belfour mask. He's probably one of the biggest Belfour fans out there, and he also does beautiful paintwork too. So it's nice having local guys that you can ship these masks off to. Another one is Bob Driesbach in St. Clair Shores. Goes under the painting name of Detroit Air, so he's got a catchy name. He helps out a lot of the younger goalies, takes care of the people that are in the St. Clair Shores area.
And what would you say would be maybe like one or two of the biggest advancements that you've seen in goalie hockey masks, like when you were starting out versus where we are today?
Well, the quality cages that are being made now out of, like I said before, stainless steel or titanium are just exceptional. They started out using smaller, skinnier wire, and the cages would become dented easily. But now, using a little bit, you know, heavier gauge stainless steel primarily, the cages are able to withstand quite a shot. They still bend, and they need to be replaced, especially if you're playing at a high level. But and also the materials, the different cloth materials, rather than being made primarily out of a fiberglass with a polyester resin, we've advanced into other materials like Kevlar, carbon fiber, lighter materials that are stronger when they're used together. And also, you know, you've got to spend the money and get the good resins, the epoxy resins. And so I think that's what's been the biggest advancement. And of course, the foam padding, you know, you've got to seek out and use dual or triple density paddings too, so you have a harder with a softer, tight padding, you know, and they work together perfectly.
Nice. And I know before you mentioned the phone number, but Gary, if somebody's listening to this and they want to, you know, connect with you, reach out with any questions, find you online, what's the best way for them to do that?
Go to warwickmask@comcat.net and you can see our website and you can read about the Warwick story. You can see our masks for sale, we have our cages online. We have everything that you need to know about a custom goalie mask. And it also will tell you how to, you know, get our phone number, give us a call, and hopefully either take the information over the phone or stop in the store for a custom fitting.
Gary, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Cliff, for stopping in. And I really appreciate you coming in and finding out about the Warwick mask story.
This has been great. Super educational. So thank you for that, Gary.
Thank you.
For our audience, you can always roll on over to totalmichigan.com, click on Gary's interview, and get the links that he mentioned above. We will see you next time when we talk to another Michigander doing some pretty extraordinary things. We'll see you then.